Well, while you're getting your Bible out or turning your Bible on, I want to fix my stand here for just a second, if you don't mind. All right. I think that's pretty good. All right, let's pray together, all right? Lord, we do pray right now that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your Word. I pray that you will help us to see this morning the clear truth of this passage and how we can apply it to our lives. And I pray that you would increase our faith and help us to express our faith by getting on our knees. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there's no doubt that all of us at some time in our life, maybe even right now, may be facing an impossible situation or some kind of difficulty in your life. We all have been there before. A difficult marriage, a terminal illness, needing money to pay the bills. Maybe everybody in Hong Kong's there. A friend or family member who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe a husband who refuses to go to church. And on the list goes of the difficulties that we all face. Have you ever found yourself thinking, though, in these circumstances, you know, I don't want to bother God with my problems. Or, you know, if I take this to the Lord in prayer, He's just going to say no anyway. Or maybe it's because we've been through something like it before, and we've been dealing with this for a long time, and so we think it's okay, I can just handle it. Or I'll be fine, we might say. Or maybe we just don't believe anymore because we've prayed for a long period of time and it just didn't seem to work. God must have just said no because nothing's happened, so I've given up, and now it's my turn to handle it on my own. Well, what do we do when we face these kind of impossibilities? So if you turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 9, which is on the screen, I'm just going, for time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but you heard the story. A father who's got a boy that's demon-possessed, and there's nothing he can do. He's at the end of his rope. So he comes to the disciples. Hey, you guys are his followers, and you guys have been doing some things through with Jesus, and so maybe you guys can help me. And Jesus isn't there. So the next best thing is just the disciples. And it doesn't work. A mountaintop experience for three disciples on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember? And then they come down to the real world, and down in the valley, things are a little bit different. Three disciples see Jesus in all of His glory, and nine are confronted by a demon-possessed man, a demon-possessed boy, and are being heckled by the scribes. So the scribes, these religious leaders that said basically Jesus is a fake, we don't need to listen to anything that he has to say, he's trying to deceive the people. And they're telling the disciples, they're arguing with them. It seems that they're saying something to them in relation to their failure to heal the boy. So three disciples have a mountaintop camp experience with Jesus on the mountain, and nine experience a great defeat. So back in Mark chapter 6, if you remember, Mark chapter 6, Jesus had sent out the disciples, and he gave them authority to cast out demons, and they were successful. No problem at all. Now, for some reason, they've run into some trouble. They've obviously tried to help this man's son. The scripture doesn't say that they were unwilling to do it, but the scripture says that they weren't able to do it. So they tried to do something. They must have gone up and laid their hands on him or done something to try to help this boy, and it just didn't work. Verse 18 says, I asked the disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. Literally means they didn't have the power. After all, they've done it before, but now it doesn't work. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. Talking about losing face? That's a serious loss of face. Someone brings a demon-possessed boy up to you and you're supposed to be able to do something about it, and you can't do anything about it. And they're heckled by the scribes because of it. Have you ever failed miserably? Have you ever tried to do something and you were like, this is my moment to succeed, and you completely fail? It doesn't work. It's pretty difficult, isn't it? It's pretty hard to swallow. It hurts. Well, why did they fail? That's the main question we want to know this morning, the answer to that question. Why did they fail? Well, remember when you're studying Scripture, I know I learned when I was studying, taught to learn to study Scripture, that you're always supposed to look for patterns. So if you look for words that seem to pop up in the story a lot, that gives you some kind of clue to what the message is there. Well, look at how many times the word believe or faith shows up. So, just so you know, the Greek word for faith and the Greek word for believe is the same word, okay? But we don't use faith in the same way. We don't say, I need to believe. We don't say, I need to faith. So we actually use the word belief, but it's the same word, okay? Pistis in Greek, it's the same. So in verse 19, Jesus says, O faithless generation, O unbelieving generation, your Bible might say, O unbelieving or unfaithful generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? So something to do with faith. Verse 23, Jesus says to the Father, all things are possible for one who believes. And in verse 24, the Father responds with, I believe, help my unbelief. And then verse 28 and 29, which doesn't have the word believe in it, but it is connected, and we'll look at it. Why could we not cast it out, they say? Why couldn't we do it? What's the issue? And Jesus said, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Well, I hope you know that prayer is connected to faith. Because you're never going to pray about something you don't believe that you're not going to do something. That's why we pray, right? We get on our knees or we pray because we're like, God, I need you to do something. That is faith. We're expressing faith when we pray. Well, there are two different things going on in this story. One is the man and his conversation with Jesus, right? And then the other thing that's going on is Jesus is dealing with the disciples. So let's talk about the man and his son first. The boy's issue is not clear. It looks like epilepsy. If you read in your Bible, it looks a lot like epilepsy. But the scriptures say that he is demon-possessed. Now, we don't want to take that too far and start saying this morning that every illness... You see that every illness is demon possession. Well, it could simply be that the boy has some form of epilepsy, and because the demon is controlling his mental, emotional, physical state, that the epilepsy is heightened in some way. Okay? So, I'm going to go with the scripture. Scripture doesn't say it's epilepsy. I'm going to go with what the Scripture says, that the boy is demon-possessed. And whatever his symptoms are, is not really the relevant point. The Father asked Jesus a simple question. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I mean, isn't that what you would say? Can you do, if you can do anything, just help. Have you ever gone to the hospital before with a sick child? I mean, like really sick. Not like a cold, but I mean like emergency. What would you say? Doctor, just do whatever you got to do. I don't care how much it costs. Here's my Visa card. Just do something. Just take care of my son. His statement is not a clear statement of faith. It's not like the guy who said, you don't even have to come to the house. You remember? The Roman who said, you don't even have to come to the house. Just say it. And on the way, it happened. Okay, this is not it. He says, if. He's not entirely sure that Jesus is going to be able to do something because the disciples failed. If you can do anything, if. It sounds like a condition. And Jesus said what? Now, there's no exclamation point or question marks in the original text. Just says, if you can. If you can. Now, does that mean, if you can, mister? Or does it mean, if you can? It's an English lesson, right? Is Jesus saying, if you can? Or is he saying, if you can? But what we know is Jesus is saying, whether I can is not the issue. That's not the issue of whether I can. That's easy. The question is whether you believe that I can. Because Jesus says to him, all things are possible for one who believes. By the way, it's never, ever an issue of whether God can do it. I hope you don't think that it's ever an issue of whether God can do it. It's obviously an issue of whether God, it's God's will or not to do it. Many people take this verse today and they take it to mean this. God will do anything you ask Him to do as long as you believe. Oh, let me say that again. Many people will take this verse today and say this. God will do anything you ask Him to do as long as you believe. So, if God didn't heal my father of cancer, it's because his faith was weak. Is that right? Because he prayed over and over and over again, God, heal me of this cancer, and God didn't do it. He died at 42 years old. So was it his faith? Was that the problem? That's not what God is saying here. It doesn't say, it says all things are possible. All things are possible for him who believes. Now, what does possible mean? I looked this up in the dictionary, just in case I was, had a wrong idea of the word possible. And possible means able to be done within the power or capacity of someone or something. All things are possible for him who believes. It's possible. But not inevitable. It's possible, but it's not certain. God sometimes says no, folks. Did you know that? God sometimes says no to our requests. God sometimes says, not right now. God, do this for me. I need you to take care of this for me. I'm coming before you, Lord. But sometimes his answer is not right now. God sometimes heals. He sometimes heals in the here and now. And sometimes he chooses to heal by taking people to heaven where they're truly healed forever and ever and ever. Like Kathy Burgess's mom this past week. She's healed. We prayed for healing. Guess what? She's healed. God works in ways that are not the way we always want Him to work. But there is one sure way of getting nothing. There's one sure way of getting absolutely no answer and seeing nothing happen, and that is not to have a faith that prays. There's a sure way of making sure that nothing happens, and that is to never ask God to do anything. Notice the boy's father cries out, "I believe, help my unbelief." Don't you love that phrase? You love that phrase because if you know yourself well enough to know, you know that you've probably prayed that, or you pray that even regularly. "God, I believe, but I know there's parts of me that don't believe like I should believe. So help me believe more, God." So here we have a father who's desperate and he's facing an impossible situation. And he does the right thing. He takes his son to Jesus. Even if his faith is very small like a mustard seed, he did the right thing. And his son was healed and delivered. What about the disciples? What about the disciples? They are facing a difficult and impossible situation. They've been put on the spot. They've been asked to cure a boy who's demon-possessed that's often tried to kill this kid. And the man brings the boy to them. What a challenge. And they try and they fail. Why did they fail? Two things Jesus says to them gives us an indication. Number one, Jesus says they are faithless. They are faithless. Now you might debate, is he saying, "Oh, faithless generation"? Is he talking to the scribes? Is he talking to everybody? Is he talking to the crowd? Is he talking to the disciples? Is he talking to the man? It seems that he's talking to the disciples. If you look at Matthew's gospel, Matthew says the reason they failed was their faith was too small. Number one, they are faithless, and number two, they should have prayed. So here's the problem, to make it quick and simple. They tried to heal the boy on their own. They tried to heal the boy in their own strength without praying. Somehow, they had tried to do it in the reserves, in the power that they thought that they had. They expected yesterday's strength and yesterday's success to carry over to the next day. Where I come from, we say they got cocky. And they got humbled. Jesus is not saying in this passage this. Maybe you've taken it this way before, but Jesus is not saying this. He's not saying that one kind of demon can be cast out by you just touching and laying hands on or something like that. And then another kind of demon you just have to pray about. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying this kind of demon can only come out by prayer, and that's a specific kind of demon here that you should have been dealing with a different way. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you don't have the power in and of yourself to handle it. You have no authority. I have all of the authority. And you must be dependent on me. This kind of thing, this kind of demon cannot be cast out by you just thinking you can do that. Jesus has all authority. You know what? Even if the disciples were able to do it, it wasn't them that did it. They're just people. The power of the Holy Spirit, it's not them. What about us? What about the difficulties that we face in life? What about the difficulties that you might be facing even now? Impossible circumstances. Now, I know enough to know about humans to know that in this room, probably most of us, if not all of us, have something in our life that we would say, it's very, very difficult, and I don't know if it'll ever be resolved. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you exercising faith? And how do you know if you are? How do you know if you're exercising faith in the difficulties, the circumstances that you might be facing? Here's how you know. Faith expresses itself in prayer. To stop praying is to stop believing. If we've stopped praying about something, it's because we've stopped believing that God was going to do anything. Where there's no prayer, there's no faith. Prayer is the outward expression of faith. So there are only three reasons why we would stop praying about something. One is God's already answered it, yes. Or two, God's already answered it, He said no. Or number three, we've stopped believing and we've given up praying. Isn't it easy to do when we don't see the answer for a long period of time? We just assume the answer is no when maybe it's not. Don't rely on yourselves, don't rely on yesterday's prayers to get you through today. No amount of praying done today will suffice for tomorrow's praying. It doesn't carry over like that, where we rely on, oh, well, last week I prayed a lot, and so that should have me covered this week. It's a continual thing. Pray without ceasing. So the message, the simple message for us today is this. Don't try to do it on your own. Express faith by praying. Don't try to do it on your own. Express faith by praying. Even if you've prayed 20 years, keep praying. And maybe you're so tired this morning, or maybe it's been such a long time, and maybe the only thing you can pray this morning is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You see, that man was a model in many ways of how we should pray when we don't feel like it. Imagine what God could do if we would just keep having faith and keep praying. Imagine what God could do in your marriage. Imagine what God could do at your workplace or in your own heart or in our city. Or what could God do at HKUST if we would just keep praying, keep asking in faith? There's no limit to what He could do. Some of you this morning may need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That would be the prayer that you would need to reach out and say, I don't know Jesus. I believe. Call out to Him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Call out to Jesus to save you. That would be the prayer of faith that you would need to pray this morning. For others, here's what I want to do this morning as we close. We're going a little long. I hope that's okay. Who in your life does not believe in Jesus? That's something to pray about. Who do you know in your life that you're close to who doesn't believe in Jesus? That's something to pray about. Number two, what other difficult situation are you facing in life that needs to be prayed for? I'm going to ask you to do something very bold this morning. I'm going to ask you to gather with some people around you and pray together. Xiaozu Klema. Get in small groups. All right? You know why? Because if we don't pray right now, what's going to happen? We're just going to say, I'll pray about that. Pray about that later. Guess what happens? We end up not ever praying about it. So let's pray right now, okay? Get into a group with a few people around you. A group is more than one. All right? Unless you're just absolutely terrified, you pray with Jesus, and that's more than one too, all right? So here's what I want you to do. Just right now, take a few minutes. Say, here's what you can pray for me about. Another person says, here's what you can pray for me about. And then pray. All right? And if you're terrified, just bow your head and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. All right? Let's don't chat. Let's don't talk about life. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do pray that you would make us people of faith. We pray that you would take every ounce of us that struggles with trusting you and believing, every part of us that doesn't want to turn to you, but wants to fix things, I pray that you would change that in us, help our unbelief. We pray that you would make us a church of prayer, that every small group would be saturated with prayer. We pray that our Thursday night prayer group would grow and see more people come and intercede before your throne together. Have your way, Lord, in us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.